5.5 billion years. Again, it feeds on itself in a process where matter is converted into energy. 1 ton of matter, completely transformed, would supply the energy needs of the entire human race for about a year. But the sun makes much more energy than that. It consumes and radiates away its mass at a rate of 4 million tons per second. The sun has so much mass that it could continue to do this for 100 billion years. But it won't. It'll only use the hydrogen located near its core, and so will continue to shine as we know it for about another 5 billion years. This is Stardate. Our program is written and produced by Deborah Bird for the University of Texas MacDonald Observatory. And for the MacDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
On October 15th at 1:30 in the afternoon, join the newly formed Citizens Planning Board as they confront the Brookhaven Town Planning Board on the issue of the proposed 2,000-acre Breslin Mall and complex slated to be built in the last stand of unprotected pine barrens on Long Island. The Brookhaven Town Planning Board is scheduled to pass the final approval of this project this Monday, October 15th, sometime after 1:30 in the afternoon. Take exit 64 off the Long Island Expressway. That's Route 112 north to 3233 Route 112. That's the Brookhaven Town Office Complex. For more information, call 928-6391 or 473-1039. Those numbers again, 928-6391 or 473-1039. Come protect our state-designated sole source drinking water aquifer. That's this Monday, October 15th, from 1:30 p.m. on.
Yeah, get your asses in gear and get down there. More details coming up later. Good evening. This is Brain Damage. It's 3 minutes after 10 o'clock. And I'm told there's a chance of showers tonight.
Germany Today. People, places, and politics. The arts, too. From Bonn, Berlin, and New York. Timely coverage of the events and issues inside Germany that are important to America.
This is Germany Today. I'm Lee Murphy in New York with Joseph Fleming, Laura Zonka, Alfred Schroeder, and Steve Merchinsky reporting from Germany. One Germany becomes a reality. In this special program, we bring you direct reports from the correspondents who watched and reported on the unity process. We also present a commentary by an American expert on Germany about the meaning of unification for America and Americans. Details in a moment on Germany Today. Sometimes the most unexpected events end one status quo and help develop new history. Take perestroika in the Kremlin, democracy in Eastern Europe, take Germany. Not so long ago, in mid-May 1989, the potential for unification was rated in a special New York Times report with this headline, quote, "Despite new stirrings, dream of one Germany fades." Now, 16 months later, that dream becomes reality and the two Germanys become one. How is German unity, a bare vision in the eyes of so few just 1.5 years ago, accomplished? To begin with, almost certainly not so recently. The seeds of unification had been planted long before circumstances made the results possible. In this special report, our correspondents look at some of the incidents, large and small, prime-time history in the making and mere footnotes to the process that has reunified Germany.
When the sensational news hit Bonn, I witnessed one of the most moving scenes in German history. It was 9 o'clock that Thursday evening, and I was waiting at the Chancellery for a special conference on the developments in East Germany to end. The meeting suddenly broke up, and the participants hastened to the nearby Bundestag Parliament, where a minor debate on domestic policies was stopped immediately. In the absence of Chancellor Helmut Kohl, who had important talks in Warsaw, his closest aide, Minister Rudolf Seiters, announced the breathtaking news that East Berlin permitted free travel between East and West. In the middle of the applause, the 61-year-old Christian Democrat backbencher Josef Unland got up and spontaneously began to sing the national anthem as others fell in. Unity and right and freedom, they sang, some with tears in their eyes, a deeply moving scene in a highly emotional atmosphere. The parliamentarians sensed that this was the beginning of German unification after months of mass escapes to the West, which climaxed in the peaceful revolution. What had been considered impossible and unimaginable, here it was, the beginning of the breathtaking developments toward national unification. Minister Seiters told the cheering house,
Mauer und Grenze in Deutschland werden durchlässiger.
The wall and the fortified borders are penetrable now, the minister rejoiced, and the Social Democrat opposition leader Hans-Jochen Vogel said, visibly moved,
Diese Entscheidung bedeutet, dass die Mauer...
After 28 years, he said, the wall has lost its function. The following morning, Federal President Richard von Weizsäcker told the German people here and there that freedom could not be walled in for long. Now, the Berlin Wall and the fortified borders were crumbling, unity was on its way. How right he was. Alfred Schroeder in Bonn.
But in the longer term, the reality of unification was like a lightning bolt out of the red, Stalinist East. As stunning as it was brilliant.
The East German communist regime collapsed so quickly in a peaceful revolution that it surprised East and West alike. Not one serious political leader or commentator had the gall to claim he had predicted the Berlin Wall soon would come down and Germany be reunified. I saw the wall go up August 13, 1961. I did not share the opinion of East German President Erich Honecker expressed last year that the wall built to halt the mass flight of refugees would endure for 100 years. But I did not think I would live to see it come down. Robert Peter Peterson, a member of the Bonn Parliament who belongs to Chancellor Helmut Kohl's Christian Democrats, says he bet 10 years ago unification would come while he still was in office.
Quite 10 years ago, I made it back with my wife when we went to East Germany through the wall. This perverse border would break down as long as I am in office. We bet for a whole bottle of champagne, which I have won. The reason was that you could already then see that communism as a faith, as a vision for a new world, was dead. And first, the spiritual basis of this, or the ideological basis of this, a state of the DDR, broke down, and then the country broke down. So it was predictable, but of course I did not dare hope that it would go so fast and so peaceful.
Looking back, it is now apparent that the doom of the German Democratic Republic began last year on May 2nd, when Hungary began to dismantle its barbed wire barricades on its border to Austria. It was noted with interest in the West and calm in East Berlin. No one foresaw it would lead to the flight of thousands of East German men, women, and children to the West. And 6 months later, on November 9th, the opening of the Berlin Wall. East German leaders at a regular meeting held the day of the Hungarian action barely discussed it. Defense Minister General Heinz Kessler dismissed it as of no importance. Instead, the communist leaders talked about the pro-government May Day demonstrations they had organized the day before. Joseph Fleming in Bonn.
Unification, however the politicians sought to orchestrate it, also had deep personal resonance for everyone across both Germanies. Perhaps especially for those who had almost come to accept the inevitability of division.
Have you ever wondered what it was like to want to visit your parents but couldn't because a brick wall separated you from them? Have you ever wondered what your brothers and sisters might look like because for the last 28 years a brick wall has kept you from seeing them? These are questions we should ask ourselves if you want to try to understand what it would be like to live in a divided city, in a divided country. And yet it is still not enough. For us, it is a hypothetical experience. For the Germans, it was reality. But now the Germans are going through the motions of reunification. The joy has subsided. Worries and fears have surfaced. There is still enthusiasm, but the wave of nationalism that could have emerged hasn't. Even in a situation of remarkable historic significance, the Germans are their reserved selves. And the old German question has been replaced with a new one. What will reunification mean? Professor Wolfgang Mommsen, chairman of the West German Historical Association, provides this answer.
Well, in the first place, I would say it means creation of a much higher degree of stability in the center of Europe, and therefore of a stability in the world. So this is a step towards a freer and a more peaceful world, and not just a thing which concerns only the Germans. I myself tend to put that very much into a European framework. At the moment, of course, the unification of the two Germanies is the most dramatic event, but in fact, it's just a tiny fragment of a more general process of reconstruction of East Central Europe and indirectly of all Europe according to a new democratic and market-oriented pattern of society.
If this is indeed the case, then, in years to come, the Germans will not be the only ones to ask, where were you when the wall came down? This is Laura Zonka in Cologne.
Now, an American assessment of what unification might mean to individual Americans. Should we be concerned about Germany and the Germans? We asked Robert Gerald Livingston, director of the independent and respected American Institute for Contemporary German Studies at Johns Hopkins University, for his views on the issue.
October 3rd heralds a new beginning for Germans and for Germany. Americans and America will rejoice, as we always have, at new beginnings. We are a nation of immigrants who tend to hold every new beginning to be good, who want to forget what is past. Our immigrant forefathers all began anew, putting their European and African pasts behind them and forgetting them. Just as our immigrants of today want to put their Central American, Asian, or Caribbean past behind them. So we rejoiced 40 years ago when the Federal Republic, with its democratic constitution, was established, when Germans began anew. We Americans took pride in 1949 in having assisted at a new beginning in Germany, a new start for freedom and democracy. We thought of the Federal Republic, probably wrongly, or at least exaggeratedly, as really an American creation, as one of the few unequivocally successful transplants of American values abroad. We considered West Germany as a model child, and we took pride in it. In typically American fashion, too, we were ready, at least far readier than Germany's European neighbors were, with their long historical memories, to forget Germany's Nazi and imperial past. We should rejoice at this unity with a greater enthusiasm because its democratic and pluralist system, its peaceful and resolutely internationalist foreign policy, and its liberal values are not transplants, but now, after 40 years, truly native stock. The new Germany of October 3rd, 1990 is a Germany that Americans may confidently rely on and may respect. It will surely promote the values and freedoms we hold dear and help them prosper in a new, wider setting. As a German phrase puts it, if the beginning is good, all would be good. The beginnings of this new Germany have been good. That is a guarantee that its future will be good also. This is Robert Gerald Livingston in Washington.
Finally, though no one single thing can be credited for the collapse of a useless system, no one can claim that music had nothing to do with the beginning of the end.
Hiya, friends. I'm happy we're together again. In fact, most Germans are happy to be together again as well. So who's to be thanked? John Kennedy?
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Ronald Reagan?
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Well, while Reagan and Kennedy did play a starring role, so did rock and roll, especially in June 1987, when David Bowie held a concert at the Wall. And while no concert, even one that brings down the house, would necessarily have brought down the wall, the Bowie concert came close, as it was broadcast by Western radio into the East.
Concerts like this weren't broadcasted live, but they made it, and I think that was really a little impact.
Well, the little impact was actually quite big because it reinforced to those in the East how little their freedom is.
they knew that there is a concert. And if you could listen to it because it's broadcasted, then you get more and more aggressive because you can't be there.
And the frustration of not being at the wall led to 5,000 young people fighting 1,000 armed police in an attempt to cross the wall. The effort, of course, failed, but it was an important first step.
I think it's the first time, the first step from the young people from East Berlin to say, come on, we bring the wall down.
Reporting from Berlin, I'm Steve Merchinsky.
In New York, I'm Lee Murphy. Thanks for listening.
And in Stony Brook, it's our Corleon brain damage. And what do you say, folks? Should we give those Germans another chance? All right, one more time. One more time. You screw up this time, we're going to catapult you back to the 18th century and something like that. I don't know. We'll be keeping you abreast of the situation as it develops. But more importantly, right now, it's 20 degrees outside and drizzling. No, it's not drizzling. It's pouring. It's pouring like it's never rained before. And I love it. Well, folks, we'll be taking phone calls in just a little bit, maybe about 20 minutes or so. But first, I want to share something with you. Yes, I'm in love again. I'm in love with another piece of vinyl that somebody threw at me. Don't fall in love with the right things, you know. I fall in love with pieces of plastic and stuff like that. But this is a really good piece of plastic to fall in love with. And I think once you listen to the little magnetic blips that are on it, you'll either agree or you'll think I'm crazy. Either way, you can enjoy yourself if you try. This gentleman is named Crispin Helion Glover. You may know him, and I'm told this by someone who hopefully is telling me the truth. You may know him as the father in Back to the Future. I'm not kidding. The father in Back to the Future has put out a record album and has proven to the world that he is incredibly insane, more insane than perhaps one might expect someone to be. There's a song on this record written by Charles Manson, okay? I'm not kidding around. Charles Manson. So let's take a listen to the first part of this. And the usual disclaimers apply. If you listen to Brain Damage long enough, you'll be offended sooner or later.
Catching. Studies in rat catching for the use of schools. Chapter 1. In the following elementary treatise for the use of public schools, I propose following exactly the same plan as my parson, a good fellow not afraid of a ferret or a rat, says with his sermons. That is, divided into different heads, then jumble up all the heads with the body, till it becomes as difficult to follow as a rat's hole in the soft bank. And to begin with, I'm going to talk. Discretion will not rule. I've faced a lion, about a being a bad, a young nothing, from having rat. Don't be bitten. It is to be remembered that the plague usually produces notable polynucleosis. Opening cuts on a large mammal. I don't care to defend myself. Partly skinned. The skin, wrong side out. This is a tiring, long story to write, and I've not quite done it yet, for I must finish with the sandpit man. He said that in a fit of rage, he had thrashed his wife to death with his fists, and that his boy, having seen him do it, had gone mad with fear, and was so bad, especially at night, that if he had not got a bulldog sleeping with him as a sort of friend,
he would go into a fit with fear and was often unconscious for hours. It was an ugly story, and I'm glad to say with the death of the Sandpit Man, the miserable part of the children's life ended. The Sandpit Man violated a lamb. Bones tear your flesh. Look, he's just the gentlest-hearted beast out, and there's not a puppy in the kennel nor a child in the village who does not know this and impose on him shamefully. Only last Sunday I had a lamb's skin removed. It was the one that gave the Sandpit Man the terrible disease. It fits tight. It takes some pulling. But it comes steadily along, wiping all before it. Faster and faster they bolt and are killed. I get excited, enjoying the sport. It's over in a few minutes. 124 are cast up on the bank. Well done. Well done. Good. Woo-hoop. Woo-hoop. Good. That's the way, my boys. Woo-hoop. Woo-hoop. And they roll on the ground. They stretch and wipe the dirt out on their eyes and rub their faces in the grass. In the West Country, it's so infested with the jackrabbits that the whole community rises to drop the pests in a never-narrowing circle that at last ends in the corral. Here, they are leisurely shot or killed with clubs. Sometimes I feel as though I may fade away. Then I remember my work. I once killed a rat inside a church. I found it during a long sermon. But for the life of me, I can't remember what that sermon was about. Mutilated pigs. Nerve reflexes. The queer platypus. Almost the only mammal whose young are bowing from eggs. Almost. Yesterday, I had my birthday. Everyone wished me good luck. So I got up on the table. Messages on my machine. I felt very clean. I felt very clean. I erased the messages on my machine, and the tape was clean. And the tape was clean. Then I made a telephone call. I felt obscene. Are sweet and girls are honey, but beat your meat and save your money.
I'm an awe. So, the nephew later, I'll play with my shirt. I'm a master baiter. I spread on by the corner whore and walk into the grocery store. These slick pages of the magazine are accompanied by their Vaseline. The lubrication is for masturbation. It's high time for a celebration. I'm feeling proud of my slab of meat. I get into the groove, I feel the beat. I'm up against the porcelain of the sink. Things are getting funny, I start to blink. Mama, can't you say you were asleep? I freeze, I don't know. A single peep, I'm an awe. Toe, but if you did, I'll play with myself. I'm a cool operator. I get back to the groove, I feel the beat. My mouth starts to stutter, I see the heat. And the fine, clean girl at the Beverly Center is looking real good in a tight-fit sweater. The shiny material of a smash song getting to me.
Okay, relax. She bends herself over like a high class hooker. My face feels straining, I just can't stop. I'm a first martini, I'm a ready to pop. I'm an all pro, and if you later, I'll play with my center. I'm a master baiter. I'm an all pro, and if you later, I'll play with my center. I'm a master baiter.
I'm an all manipulator. I play with myself. I'm a masturbator. I look into the ceiling, I see what I know. That feeling is a reeling, I think there's a glow. I see everything so clear. I don't really know what I'm doing the bathroom door, I be looking so cool. My mama don't know I've been touching my tool.
I'm an all-tool, and if you get it, I'll play with myself. I'm a masturbator. I'm so happy that I be a man, cause I got the whole world in my hands. I got the whole world in my hands. I'm a happy man, I be a man. I'm an all-tool, and if you get it, I'll play with myself. I'm a man.
Empty, so it cried a plenty. I wondered what to do.
I didn't know what to think, so I got a drink. And then I showed it something that was round. Then it died, smiled, fell on the ground. Looking back about those days with the clown, I get teary-eyed and really snide. I think that deep down, I hated that clown, but not as much as Mr. Farr. I'm gonna go smoke a cigar. I was walking on the ground, I didn't make a sound, and then I turned around, I saw a clown. I hate you, clown. Your ugly frown, smiley lips. I think I'll clip you across the nose, clown. I'll get you a real Farr. Like Mr. Farr. Get it? Mr. Farr. Clown. See what a cigar will do? Clown. Ugly clown.
Nervousness balances the door shut back and forth in the hut. And the voice on the machine for the telephone is dead. I've been had. All the nervousness is in my sheets. Where is my concubine? It's just been released. Where is my concubine? Where is my shrine to me from my concubine? Where is my shrine to me from my concubine or even three? And then there's your thoughts. Oh, what is this? My love forms you straight. You were crying. Where is my concubine? Where is my concubine? Don Johnson or Swanson, and Swanson, these sheets are heavy. The races must form an alliance. Where is my concubine? Nervousness is fine. The sheets must be lifted carefully from ends of the corners evenly. To smooth and curdial, this nervousness is virginal.
Well, that's it. It's all over. Or actually, side one is all over. Crispin Hillian Glover. A record called The Big Problem. The Big Problem. We just heard Getting Out of Bed. Started off with Overture. Selected readings from Rat Catching. An actual book. There's an actual book called Rat Catching. And In the little booklet that came with the album, there's some excerpts from it, which I won't get into. The new Clean song, Auto Manipulator and Clowny Clown Clown. We did not hear the song by Charles Manson. Perhaps next week we'll get to that. Songs on side two. The Manson song is called Never Say Never to Always. And a couple of the other things. These Boots Are Made for Walking, The Daring Young Man and the Flying Trapeze, and selected readings from Oakmont. Fascinating piece of work here. Kind of record I've always wanted to put out. In fact, there is a telephone number here. All words and lyrics point toward the big problem. The solution lay within the title, Let It Be. Crispin Healy and Glover wants to know what you think these nine things all have in common. What nine things? Well, let's see. Adrie Long, circa 1868. Adolf Hitler, circa 1932. Charles Manson, Never Saying Never to Always. Oakmont, ABC. Adrie Hitler in the Minds of History Forevermore. The Killing and Maiming of Defenseless Animals, Boots. The Daring Young Man on the Flying Trapeze, who might just as easily be called a gloating woman seducer. Cleanliness, Clowns, Getting Out of Bed. And, last but not least, Indignant Righteous Self-Manipulation with Discrimination Against Others. Somehow it's reassuring to wake up and put a record like this on the turntable. You know, you feel like there's maybe hope. What's this? There's a phone ringing. I wonder if by talking about this I was able to somehow trigger that phone number from being dialed. I hear it in my ears. I don't know if everybody else can hear it, but maybe I'm just hallucinating.
Crispin Hellion Glover is filming right now and unable to answer your call. However, if you would like information on Rat Catching, Oak Moss, or The Big Problem, the record album, please call 213-391-4154 and leave your name, address, and zip code, and we will send you information. Or you can write Volcanic Eruption, 6301 Sunset Boulevard, Suite 103, Box 113, Hollywood, California, 928. Thank you.
Isn't that something? Well, now you know all the information there is to know about this. And a dial tone on top of that. Incredible. It's 10:38 in the evening on a Saturday, and it's raining. It's raining quite a bit, in fact. You know, I'm a real nasty person. I wished it would rain, because this is homecoming weekend here at Stony Brook, and all these activities were planned, and I just thought, well, what would be the most disruptive thing that could possibly happen? How about a tropical storm or something that dumps a gallon of water on everybody? I found myself driving down the road earlier, and there's water everywhere. I mean, you know, you go through puddles, but in this particular case, you weren't going through a puddle. Occasionally, you'd hit a dry patch. You were constantly under, like, about 4 inches of water throughout the entire length of the road, and I just found myself all of a sudden, I looked in the rearview mirror, and I had the most insane grin on my face. I was so incredibly happy to see this situation of natural chaos. And I thought of the poor folks here at Stony Brook struggling to put on their outdoor events with a shred of dignity. It's interesting because every single year since the curse of 84, every single year it seems when there's either a homecoming or fall fest or whatever it is they have, it rains like it's never rained before. Something that we should study. Perhaps we could learn something about nature, curses, bad luck, and of course mud, which Stony Brook is known for. But Long Island is covered with mud tonight. It's also covered with a lot of moronic people, you know? Particularly you, that guy that was driving in front of me on my way over here before. Yeah, I think you're listening. I think you're listening to me right now. Now, when you drive into a huge puddle, you know, that's so big that life is probably formed in it by now. Why do you hit the brakes in the middle of it? With somebody right behind you. Why do you hit that? I mean, what do you want to do? Get out and explore or something? The idea, when there's a huge puddle, is to go through it as fast as you possibly can, thus increasing the chances that you will, in fact, make it all the way through. When you step on the brake in the middle, for one thing, your brakes won't work because they're completely soaked. You're also condemning everybody behind you to the same dumb fate that you end up condemning yourself to. Public service announcement here on WUSB for that moron in the red whatever car that was. And to the lady that did not see fit to slow down as I was struggling across the parking lot. Decided to careen around and splash everybody that was out there. I'd sure like to get to know you better. See what makes you tick. It's 10:41, 19 minutes until 11 o'clock. That means the tripods are coming up at 11. You can find out the exciting news as to what's going on in their lives in case real life isn't exciting enough for you. Of course, it's based on real life. I shouldn't go implying that that's fantasy or anything like that. It's based upon the heart-rendering life of people in the suburbs. But that will be coming up at 11. We'll be taking phone calls and talking about a couple other things. Let's first take a quick look at the weather. 20 degrees Celsius outside, 68 Fahrenheit. Local beach erosion. Locally heavy showers tonight may cause scattered urban flooding. Let's get that out of the way. Local beach erosion along the South Shore and East End tonight. Tonight, numerous showers. Now, I wonder, how did they know, you know, when to call it plural and when to call it singular? I mean, I look out the window and I see a shower, and it's a shower that lasts all night long. Now, is somebody at the weather service actually figuring out how many showers those are? You know, are there 20 showers out there? Are there 55 showers? Three? I don't know. How do they know these things? Numerous showers. It's raining, folks. It's going to keep raining. It's not going to stop. Why don't they talk English? And my other favorite phrase, isolated thunder showers. These are thunder showers that have been banned from the thunderstorm crowd because they're objectionable or something. Anyway, they'll all be tapering off by morning. Running out of steam, as it were. Low in the mid to upper 60s, winds southeast becoming north around 10 miles per hour. Talk about winds changing direction. Chance of rain, 70%. 70% chance of what you see happening in front of you. Rough surf may cause minor beach erosion and hazardous conditions for surfers along the South Shore and East End. A Sunday, decreasing cloudiness, high in the mid-70s, winds northeast to west, 10 miles per hour. Sunday night, fair and cooler, low 55 to 60. Monday, mostly sunny, high in the low 70s. I sure wish that hurricane hit us head-on, you know. It would have been something neat. You know, I remember Gloria back in 85. Boy, I sound like one of those old fishermen now. Back in 85, I remember Gloria. Well, I tell you, nothing brings people together like a good hurricane. Never mind the fact they don't really want to be together in the first place. It's just something that occasionally needs to be done. Something else that occasionally needs to be done, and right now, more than ever needs to be done. We're facing a crisis out east. But the crisis doesn't just affect people out east. The crisis affects people all over Long Island and, in a way, people all over the country. What the hell am I talking about? Well, listen to this man and see what he has to say. Then I'll be back and we'll be going to the phones afterwards. Oh, nice music.
On October 15th at 1:30 in the afternoon, join the newly formed Citizens Planning Board as they confront the Brookhaven Town Planning Board on the issue of the proposed 2,000-acre Breslin Mall and complex slated to be built in the last stand of unprotected pine barrens on Long Island. The Brookhaven Town Planning Board is scheduled to pass the final approval of this project this Monday, October 15th, sometime after 1:30 in the afternoon. Take exit 64 off the Long Island Expressway, that's Route 112 North, to 3233 Route 112. That's the Brookhaven Town Office Complex. For more information, call 928-6391 or 473-1039. Those numbers again, 928-6391 or 473-1039. Come protect our state-designated sole source drinking water aquifer. That's this Monday, October 15th, from 1:30 p.m. on.
I know, it sounded like he was going to say the date there, on, but no, he meant onwards, you know, from 1:30 on until hopefully midnight. That's what it takes to get through to people. There was a demonstration out east today, in fact. Despite Mother Nature, people turned out to protect Mother Nature. You know, I think there's a song in there somewhere. And the fight is about keeping some open space on Long Island, you know. Open space is, it's when you drive and you don't have to stop, you know, and you don't see stores and signs, 7-Elevens, McDonald's, and Blockbuster videos everywhere you look. Yeah, you see those trees, the plant life, animals, deer crossing signs, although I still have yet to see a deer crossing anywhere on Long Island. But I'd like to know, you know, I'd like to know where all of those people are that will one day be complaining and saying, God, this sucks, this is terrible. You can't get anywhere on Long Island, there's pollution everywhere, there's stores everywhere, there's not a single green patch. Where the hell were you today? A lot of these people I know, too, you know, that's what really upsets me. A lot of these people are environmental types, granolas, if you will. Some of them are just regular business people that care, but not enough to stand outside a little bit in the rain and make your points known to the folks in the William Floyd Parkway. The majority of which, I would say, were in favor of what the people there were doing. And I judge that based on people passing by, honking their horns, giving a thumbs-up signal. And that was really good to see. You know, it was really good to see how many people cared enough to do that, if not enough to stand on the side of the road. I mean, people have their reasons for not being able to be there. But understand this. If the Brookhaven Planning Board does not think that there are a lot of people out there that are upset by this proposal, which I would say is about 85% complete, 85% chance of becoming reality, the biggest mall on Long Island on the William Floyd Parkway. And you know what's going to follow after that. Nassau County, folks. Nassau County, all around us. And I can say that without fear of retribution, because I know our signal doesn't go into Nassau County anymore. It's a serious matter, very serious matter, and if you ignore it now, it's not going to ignore you in the future. Think again. Take the day off from work. Take the day off from school. Hey, kids out there, tell your mothers I said it was okay. Come down to the Brookhaven Town offices, Old Town Road in Medford, Monday at 1:30. Show them that they can't hold a meeting at 1:30 in the afternoon in the middle of a working day and prevent people from speaking their minds. Why do you think they do that? Why do you think they have meetings in the middle of the day, you know? Two reasons. A, it's their job and they work 9 to 5, so they do it during their working hours. B, everyone else works 9 to 5, so it doesn't really get in the way of, you know, all these people coming by expressing their opinions. Bit of an inconvenience, wouldn't you say? Well, it's our job to be inconvenient at times, folks. And the time has never been righter than now. If we lose this fight, you might just as well open up Shoreham, because it's not going to be worth it living out there. You know, and people say, we need jobs. You know, that's always what they say, we need jobs. And sure, we need jobs. We need everything. We need money. We need food. We need national health. We need everything. But you don't get what you want by destroying what's around you. And that's, in fact, what's going to happen. Yeah, we'll have jobs for a little while till the stores go out of business and till it becomes a barren wasteland that no one wants to live in, till the crime rate soars. And yeah, we'll have jobs when we build more houses to support the mall. But then one day we're going to wake up and realize there's no place to go on the weekends. There's no place to walk around and get away from all the noise. And I think at that point we may realize that it wasn't worth it. Can't turn back at that point, folks. That's the problem. You can't turn back. It's up to us to do something for the future. And we're talking about the future here. We're talking about, you know, I noticed as we were standing on William Floyd today. Sorry, not standing on William Floyd. William Floyd Parkway. Don't even know the gentleman, but I certainly wouldn't want to stand on him. While we were standing out there, and all these cars went by, I noticed almost every car that had someone under the age of 10 honked in approval, and the kids were cheering. You know, a school bus went by, and all the kids were cheering, thumbs up and everything. They knew what it was about. They saw the sign, save the Pine Barrens, save the environment, no mall. They knew what it was about. They cared. They considered themselves to be caring people. You got to wonder, why is that? Why is it that kids support trees? Kids are against malls, you know? You think they'd say, oh, hey, it's cool, let's go to a mall. But they read the papers, too. You know, they see the news. They see what's going on. They see how everything is getting completely screwed up. They see the hole in the ozone layer and the garbage barges and the trash every way you look. The fact that we cannot clean up after ourselves. And they blame the adults as well they should. But they're the ones that are going to be left with this. And I think they're the ones we should be asking a little bit more. So no matter what your age, you can certainly come down to this town meeting, town planning board. And if not stand up in front of everybody and say something, at least show your support by being there. It does mean something. It does make a difference. They may think when they look out there and see all these people that are obviously opposed to what it is they want to do, they may think twice. They may not think twice. But we'll never know if we don't give them something to think about. So it takes place Monday, 1:30 p.m., Medford, the Brookhaven Town Hall, the auditorium, whatever. And this is really, I consider the final battle, because this mall is something that I've been opposing for years. It always keeps rearing its ugly head. You know, we need this mall. We don't need another mall out there. Why do you think people got houses out on the East End in the first place? To be near a mall? No, to be away from the malls. To be out where you can think, where you can still see the stars at night. Remember stars? Used to be whenever you went out anywhere on Long Island, people would always comment on how you could see all the stars. Well, when's the last time you heard a comment like that? We don't need to bring our advanced way of life out any further to people that don't really want it. Of course, there are also people that weren't in favor of the demonstration today. But it was interesting. You know, I was trying to gauge who was for it and who was against it. And I don't like to label people. But it seemed to me that the older the person was, and I'm talking from what I could tell by the people going by at 40 miles an hour, people over 50 generally were the ones that were giving us the finger and yelling things outside their car window that obviously were not supportive. One of them being, we need jobs. Yeah, right. Okay, sure. But I'm curious as to why that is, you know? Generally have respect for old folks, but you think they'd know better. You think they'd know that history repeats itself and that things just keep proliferating as they are. We're not going to have any place to hide, any place to escape to. Noise 24 hours a day. Well, it's an ongoing thing. It's happening everywhere. Ozone hole reopened over the Antarctic. Gaping hole in Earth's protective ozone layer has again opened over Antarctica, and scientists reported yesterday, or 2 days ago actually, that the depletion of ozone there seemed to be nearly as severe as it was in the worst previous years, 1987 and 1989. So, the ozone hole is back. Plans for the mall are back. And the only question we have right now is how many people out there really care. I'm so surprised how few people I know showed up. I mean, a lot of people were there, a lot of people I'd never met before, but God, what about all the people that say they care, you know? It's not enough to care after something happens, you gotta care before it happens. And it's worth taking a day off from whatever it is you have to do, you know? It's worth getting into a fight with someone. It's worth missing a test. It's worth getting Dr. Day's pay. I mean, I'd go so far as to say it's worth losing your job over. It's worth dropping out of school for, but I won't go that far. Those are my personal opinions. I just think that the sacrifice that you got to put in is so small compared to what you get out of it in the end. And you get a good feeling, too, when you know that you may have contributed to the lasting preservation of the environment. You know, people think that they don't have any power, and it's pounded into your head so often. You know, they have these meetings in the middle of the day. They don't really seem to pay attention to what you're saying. It's very easy to believe that what you think, what you do, what you say really doesn't mean a thing. But it's very convenient to make you believe that. Truth is, if you keep speaking up, keep writing letters to the newspapers, keep showing up at these meetings and keep talking to your friends and getting the word out, it does make a difference. And when that's reinforced, you realize how much of a difference a single person can make. And then you got to reach out and get other people to make differences too, you know? They don't even have to agree with you. They just have to use that power. The power of the individual. That's what's important. Okay, well, enough of that speech. Now, should I read this? Maybe I should read this. Okay, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play the public service announcement one more time. I'm going to read this environmental notice. We'll go to the tripods, then we'll go to the phones, and everybody will be happy, right? Well, hopefully. See you in a minute.
On October 15th at 1:30 in the afternoon, join the newly formed Citizens Planning Board as they confront the Brookhaven Town Planning Board on the issue of the proposed 2,000-acre Breslin Mall and complex slated to be built in the last stand of unprotected pine barrens on Long Island. The Brookhaven Town Planning Board is scheduled to pass the final approval of this project this Monday, October 15th, sometime after 1:30 in the afternoon. Take exit 64 off the Long Island Expressway, that's Route 112 North, to 3233 Route 112. That's the Brookhaven Town Office Complex. For more information, call 928-6391 or 473-1039. Those numbers again.
And it's a piece of information I got today at the demonstration. By the way, you don't have to be a communist or something to go to a demonstration, you know? A lot of people are scared of that. I think that might be one of the reasons. But, you know, we had American flags out there. And I think we were very, very much in spirit of what this land was founded for. I just wish we could get everybody together that believe this was important. You know, I wish we could find a time when everyone could get together. But we got to do what we can. Anyway, this letter says, "Stop the mauling of Long Island." Actually, it's a pamphlet. Actually, no, it's a poster. That's what it is. Well, not really a poster. It's on 8.5 by 11 paper. It's like a sheet of paper with some text on it. That's what it is. Stop the mauling of Long Island. Developer Wilbur Breslin wants to put one of the world's biggest malls into the heart of our central Pine Barrens. This is the only source of fresh water for the area, but it was zoned for a mall many years before the state and federal governments designated it as a sole source aquifer. So the Brookhaven Town Planning Board says it can't be bothered about it. 20 miles of cars will have to come to the mall to fill its 8,000-plus parking spaces. If they come from beyond Brookhaven Town, they'll add greatly to traffic, air pollution, and oil runoff. If they come from nearby communities, they'll take shrinking retail dollars away from family-owned local businesses at a time when overdevelopment has brought on the start of a prolonged recession. There are already 1,500 empty stores in Brookhaven Town. 1,500. Boarded-up ghost malls already blight the landscape, and Wilbur Breslin owns some of them. Long Island cannot survive any more short-sighted planning. The masters who design our master plans and our local boards have let us down. The Citizens Planning Board is now forming for the purpose of bringing local people into the planning process, so those of us who want future generations to enjoy thriving communities in an environment of natural abundance can have a powerful, positive voice. We must not only stop Breslin's bulldozers, but also take responsibility for our future. You can contact the Citizens Planning Board Organizing Committee at P.O. Box 44, Mount Sinai, New York, 11766, or call them at area code 516-928-6391 or 473-1039. And remember, only you can prevent what is being called Willy World. Wilbur Breslin's mall, Willy World. I like that. What you do on your own over the next few days and weeks may well determine the future of Long Island. The stakes are high. We're playing for keeps. This is all the stuff you can do. So you don't have to just do one thing. Do whatever suits you. Phone or visit a political campaign office. Ask for a firm, clear statement on the Willy World project, for or against. Express your concerns. Include your political concern that developers have taken over our political process and want to squeeze out the people. Ask politely about campaign contributions. Would they please show you a current list of donors? Talk to both sides in each race. And don't forget, Election Day is coming. Ask state and federal representatives, should Brookhaven Town's 25-year-old zoning of Pine Barrens for shopping malls take precedence over state and federal designations of the area as a sole source aquifer? Will they be willing to vote funds for colossal water projects to provide for Long Island after the Pine Barrens are paved over? Will they voice concern over deforestation in the Amazon or Africa while supporting deforestation for economic growth at home? And economic growth comes in quotes there. Ask your congressman, does he agree with Wilbur Breslin's recent remark that federal bank regulators are overreacting to the S&L crisis? Does he feel that the FDIC should encourage commercial banks to finance colossal real estate developments to help Breslin and the Long Island Association create the impression that Long Island is hotter than ever as a place for speculative investments? Does he agree with Breslin and some now retired S&L executives that a region can grow its way out of an economic downturn by building more shopping malls? Ask corporate headquarters and local branch offices of Citibank, Northstar, Sears, J.C. Penney, Lord & Taylor, and A&S if they have any environmental guidelines for what they get involved in. Do they merely accept the rulings of local planning boards that may well be in a developer's pocket? Or do they have independent expert assessments of environmental problems in projects where they invest their capital and their reputations? Could they please tell you who their environmental consultants are, so that you may discuss this with them? Politely explain that you have no choice but to assume that stonewalling indicates that their company is involved in projects detrimental to your environment and has a policy of not caring about it. Call Wilbur Breslin himself. He has invited all concerned members of the public to contact him to discuss their questions about his proposals for Yaphank and elsewhere. Please note that Mr. Breslin is patient, dignified, and accessible. He is also well-respected compared with most of his colleagues or competitors. He has become very successful building shopping centers at a time and place where shopping centers have been, rightly or wrongly, a fast-growing phenomenon. Although you may consider shopping centers to be the environmental and economic equivalent of cancer, you should also remember that building them doesn't involve malicious or destructive intentions. Like a farmer hooked on pesticides, a builder hooked on shopping centers is a product of his times, almost a victim of circumstances, one who may one day decide to do things differently. Therefore, be nice. But you still have a right and a duty to ask serious questions and not settle for meaningless answers. Breslin's Associates may also be available to address your concerns. Try calling attorney Herb Balin or the folks at Land Design Associates. Call government bureaucracies who are supposed to be safeguarding our economic and environmental interests. Remind them that Willy World is the biggest construction project with the greatest environmental impact in the history of this part of the island, and that it is intended to lead to a huge building boom in the Pine Barrens region. Ask if they foresee any potential problems, and if so, what they're doing about it. Just go through the blue pages of your phone book. Call every bureaucrat and politician you can. Explain why you're calling to everyone you get transferred to. Sooner or later, you'll get through to someone willing to talk. And along the way, you'll get some other people thinking. Shoot the breeze, fish for information, and keep written notes. Our job now is to get everybody talking about Willy World and get everybody asking serious questions about which way the island is going. Our job is to slice through the apathy. The developers want us apathetic and cynical, so we'll stay out of their way. Our job is to educate and empower ourselves and everybody else and mobilize our forces to determine the future of this place we call home. The most important thing we can do is listen. Listen in the way that encourages others to think and question and act. When we start respecting one another's minds, we'll all become amazingly intelligent. This is the other side's greatest fear. They want us passive, not bothering to challenge their nonsense messages. What do land rapists see in their worst nightmares? Endangered species, lost in an environment of pavement and smoke, unable to eat or find a mate. Do they see a greenhouse planet burning to cinders in the cold void of space, orbiting lifeless forever? Do they see their own grandchildren trying to survive in contaminated air, water, and soil? No, they see you, members of the general public, thinking, questioning, organizing, mobilizing, acting like educated and active citizens of a free country. That is the worst nightmare of a land rapist. That's what Wilbur Breslin fears when he says, "Let us meet future challenges in a very positive way, without political compromise or emotional blockage by self-interest groups. We need courage and staying power. We must rise above political expediency as we shape the future Long Island." Self-interest groups. Self-interest groups. I mean, why would somebody stand out in the pouring rain demonstrating against a mall? I mean, what's in it for you personally? Are you making money by doing that? Self-interest. What could be more self-interest intensive than building a mall to make a profit? You don't make a profit by protecting against things like that. It's also what Michael LaGrande feels, former Suffolk County executive, when he outlines his plans to neutralize the activism and influence of concerned citizens, which sound remarkably like the plans outlined by the incinerator industry in a short piece on dealing with the NIMBY syndrome, not in my backyard, that appeared in City and County magazine. That's the theme running through all the boosterism, propaganda, and political analysis published by the development community from the Long Island Association and the Association for a Better Long Island to Newsday's editorial page. The land rapists want local government and the news media to be part of their club. They want to isolate and ridicule the very idea of citizenship, so that all efforts to understand and influence the future of our communities is labeled not in my backyardism or militant parochialism. Before the people of Eastern Europe rose up to destroy the corrupt one-party government and economic monopoly of elitist central planners, many observers noted that these populations were cynical, apathetic, and depoliticized. That's how the local elite wants us to be, so they can push through the same kind of centrally planned, self-serving mega-projects that destroy the environment and the small businesses of Eastern Europe. Doesn't matter if it's left, doesn't matter if it's right. If the people of Eastern Europe can rise up to control their political and economic destiny, so can the people of Eastern Long Island. And it doesn't even involve rising up, because we already are in a position to do this. That's pretty much all we can tell you about this. Now it's up to you. Now it's up to everyone out there to spread the word around. And if there's opposition to this mall out east, or maybe right in your backyard, William Floyd Parkway and the expressway, let's see that opposition. Let's see it Monday at the town planning board meeting in Medford, 1:30 p.m., the Brookhaven town offices. And let's see it in the newspapers. Let's see it tonight on the radio, 632-6901, area code 516. We're going to go to the tripods, find out what's happening in their neck of the woods, where things are always so much happier than they are here. Not always, though. There's been a lot of torment recently in their lives. And then we'll come back and take some phone calls and see who's awake and who's sleeping. 632-6901. Radio Free Long Island, in conglomeration with the Three Villains Tobacco Farms Incorporated, present the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left our friends last, Kathy had just returned home after a few weeks' hiatus, but Howard is still missing. And as we join Charlie, Pop, and Kathy, we hear Charlie say,
Kathy, where have you been?
Everybody's been going crazy looking for you.
Howard's still out there somewhere searching for you.
Oh, I just feel terrible about all this. It's all my fault.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Certainly two-thirds of it is your fault. The rest of it's your Uncle Jonathan's fault for telling you all those nasty things about Howard.
But it's partly Howard's fault, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, all right, then. Let's say two-fifths of it was Kathy's fault, another fifth Uncle Jonathan's, and one more fifth for Howard.
Well, who cares whose fault it is anyway? I just want to... Wait a minute. Two for me, one for Howard, and one for Uncle Jonathan. That's only four-fifths. You're missing a fifth, Charlie.
I am? Let me refigure all of this
out. No. That's not necessary. No, wait a minute. It's not necessary. Charlie, let's just figure out where Howard is.
Well, I don't know how we're going to do that unless... Oh, let me get that.
Hello?
Has Charlie been taking good care of you, Pop?
Yeah, she's right over here.
Oh, he's been trying. But all we end up doing is just working on that blasted Bulgarian car of his.
This is Kathy. It's for you, Kathy.
For me? Oh, nobody knows I'm at your house, Charlie.
Well, they called your old house next door, and Stanley said you might be over here.
Who is it?
It's a Mr. Greenbaum. He's calling from some fruit and vegetable stand somewhere in Huntington. He says he knows something about Howard.
Oh, let me talk to him. Oh, Mr. Greenbaum. Yes? Yes?
What's he saying?
Yes?
What's he saying, Kathy?
Yes? Yes, Howard Tripod. Yeah, he's my husband. Yes? Yeah?
Where is he?
For me? What? Lost his memory?
He did what?
Where? Oh, thank you very...
Kathy, what is it?
That's very nice of you. Okay, thank you very much.
Kathy, what's
going on? Okay, goodbye.
Well, Kathy, what did he say?
He said that Howard came to his stand looking for me. This Mr. Greenbaum convinced him to help out at the stand because he thought I might pass by.
Well, that was a good idea.
Well, it was until Howard slipped on a banana peel and lost his memory.
He did what?
Howard slipped on a banana peel? Just like in the movies. Wow.
So, Kathy, he doesn't know who he is?
Worse than that, he thinks he's somebody else.
That is pretty unfortunate.
It certainly is. Oh!
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
what the devil are you doing in my house?
Where did you come from?
I'm sorry if I scared you, Kathy. The door was wide open, and you were all talking, so I just walked right in.
I'm not so sure if I want to talk to you, Uncle Jonathan. If you hadn't told me those untrue rumors about Howard, I would have never left him, and we still would have had our house next door, and Howard would still know who he was.
Yes, it's at least one-fifth your fault.
I should think it's two-fifths, Charlie.
Wouldn't help if I said I was sorry.
I really don't know, Uncle. I'm going to call up this hospital Mr. Greenbaum told me that Howard was at. Charlie, could you look up the number of the Amalgamated Hospital in Huntington?
Oh, I don't have to, Kathy. I remember that one. It's 480-9000.
480-9000?
Yes, that's 480-9000. That's right.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Charlie, how come you remember that number?
Oh, that's the hospital I sued for malpractice.
Even so, the reunion of Howard and Kathy moves one step closer as they find out which hospital Howard is in. You want to be with us next time when we'll hear Uncle Jonathan say,
I think I own that hospital.
That's next time on The Tripod Family, a conglomeration of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. Until next time, this is Don Topeka.
The Alternative Cinema at Stony Brook announces its fall program, featuring a series of international films that express the individual inspiration and vision of the director. The films will be shown in the Stony Brook Union Auditorium on the State University at Stony Brook campus on Tuesday evenings at 7 and 9:30 p.m. General admission is $2 and there's plenty of parking behind the Union. This Tuesday, October 16th, the Alternative Cinema will screen Lizzie Borden's Working Girls. Borden's biting commentary focuses on Molly and her friends, business-minded call girls who clinically go about their work. On Tuesday, October 23rd, we'll show Bernardo Bertolucci's The Conformist. This internationally acclaimed film depicts the moral corruption of Mussolini's Italy in the story of a young fascist who murders a former professor to demonstrate his loyalty to the state. On Tuesday, October 30th, in celebration of Halloween, we'll show Luis Buñuel's surreal classic, Viridiana. This comedy parodies life in Franco's Spain. Viridiana, a novice nun, opens her late uncle's home to a horde of grotesques who overstay their welcome. As a special attraction, the cinema will also show that evening Buñuel's first film, Un Chant Andalou, made with Salvador Dali in the 20s. On November 6th, the Alternative Cinema shows Law of Desire by Pedro Almodovar. A thriller, a romantic tragedy, an X-rated soap opera. This explosive film from the director of Woman on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown and Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down is a clear-eyed look at sexual relationships. The series ends on November 13th with Spike Lee's She's Gotta Have It. An innovative comedy about black life in Brooklyn, Lee's first feature film follows Nola, an uninhibited young woman who is too independent for the vanities of male behavior. So return to the thrill of the big screen. Come to the Alternative Cinema on the campus of the State University at Stony Brook. All films will be shown in the Stony Brook Union Auditorium at 7 and 9:30 p.m. Admission, $2. For further information, call 632-6136. See you at the movies.
Oh, people are getting impatient, aren't they? We have five lines lit, now we only have two. Oh, now we have four. This is incredible. I can watch these phone lines all night long. It's just wild watching the lights go on and off. 632-6901 is our phone number. And I make a personal pledge to try and get to every call tonight. So be a little patient and remember that we don't charge, or actually we don't charge at all. The phone company doesn't charge until we pick up. So that's why we let the phone ring forever. Some radio stations think it's good to put you on hold and let you listen to what's on the air and the musical hold button. But while that might seem like a nice gesture, you're paying for it, so be real careful with stations like that. This is the only radio station that saves you money every time you call. Think of it that way. 632-6901, area code 516. And yes, folks, it is raining outside. 20 degrees Celsius, 68 Fahrenheit. I made a big mistake getting out of my car. I thought it was only an inch of water on the ground. In fact, it turned out to be about a foot. And my feet got very, very wet. That's why my shoes are hanging up from the ceiling next to the air vent, trying to get dry by the time I get out of here tonight. I don't know if that's going to work, though, since the geniuses down at the physical plant have the air conditioning going tonight. But it's a thought that counts. Be careful if you're out there. Drive like a sane person for a change. And watch out for the people in front of you that might not be driving very sanely. Speaking of insane people, and we get one more phone call. I'll go to the phone, 632-6901. A federal district judge has ordered the Missouri Knights of the Ku Klux Klan to stop playing racist telephone recordings that imitate the children's television program Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I kid you not. The judge, Howard F. Sachs, also ordered the Klan and three of its members on Wednesday, to turn over tape recordings and other materials. Lawyers for Mr. Rogers say the materials infringe on the program's trademarks and copyrights. The judge set a hearing in the case for October 20th. Judge Sachs issued the temporary restraining order one day after Fred M. Rogers and his company, Family Communications Incorporated, sued to stop the Klan's use of the recording. The message imitates the sound effects and song of the program and Mr. Rogers' voice and speech patterns, something most people like to do at some point. But what's different here is on the first tape, the Mr. Rogers impersonator points out a black youngster on a playground and calls him a nigger drug pusher. At the end of the tape, the Klan lynches the youth. In a second tape, the Mr. Rogers impersonator ridicules homosexuals and says AIDS was divine retribution. I wish I had the phone number, or there'd be some divine retribution coming from Long Island. The messages said Cynthia E. Koenig, a lawyer for Mr. Rogers, are of racism, white supremacy, and bigotry, the antithesis of everything Rogers and Family Communications Incorporated stand for. A group of civil rights community and religious leaders complained last week that the number for a telephone in Independence, Missouri, that played the racist message had been circulated among elementary and middle school students in the metropolitan area. The same number was used earlier this year to promote the philosophy of the Missouri Knights of the Klan. The lawsuit names the Klan and Adam Troy Mercer, Michael Brooks, also known as M.B. Madison, and Edward E. Stevens. A reporter's attempts to reach the three men were spectacularly unsuccessful. Okay, I guess the folks have waited patiently long enough. Good evening.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good. I'd like to talk about the new Slayer album.
I prefer not to. Thanks, anyway. Good evening.
How you doing, Eric? It's Jeff Rossin.
Jeff? No, not the Jeff. Jeff Rossin that does the Tuesday afternoon news show here on WUSB?
Yeah, the one who got made fun of 2 weeks ago. Remember that?
Aren't you made fun of every week?
No, it's all a joke, though. Me and Ron are really good friends.
Okay. Why don't you tell us about Ron Francis and, what
who?
You guys do?
Who? Say that again?
Sorry?
I didn't hear you. I'm not used to sharing myself over the radio.
Go ahead. Tell us.
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, I was on the phone with somebody, and Ron Phillips.
I said Ron Francis. I don't know where my head is. Ron Phillips, of course.
Ron Phillips.
Who's Ron Francis?
So, we're talking, and I'm looking at the phone with this girl. You know, the stud that I am. Just kidding. And
you better be kidding.
And he came to the conversation, and he played it over there, and there were some embarrassing things over it, so.
Well, any conversation with you on one end would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Like this one here. Well, I don't mean that in an insulting way. I thought we were talking, man to man here.
I thought you had like a tape or something of me having a conversation. I was waiting to hear it. Okay, so how are you?
I'm fine. Well, I don't understand why you wanted to dredge that up again. I mean, wasn't it embarrassing enough the first time?
Well, it was made into kind of a joke, so now I kind of look back on it. It's all right,
Uh-huh.
Joke. We made that very clear over the air.
It was a joke. Uh-huh.
You should have been there on that when we had the Gallery Girl from next door up.
I heard about that. The Gallery Girl came up to the studio.
Gallery Porno Magazine, yeah.
I heard half the Union Building came up with her.
No way.
No, I heard, seriously, the foundations of this building were in danger for a while because you can't hold that many people on the second floor.
I have a picture of her right here on my bulletin board.
Well, that's something. And
she has clothes on. You know, that's a strange thing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
She gave us all a copy of the magazine, so we were all very happy.
She gave out copies of the magazine?
She gave out one copy, and we were all passing it around. How would you feel if you were naked in a porno magazine, not you personally, but anybody, and people were looking at you right as they were on the air?
Well, I don't know. You know, I guess that's something you would think about when you posed in the first place, you know, that people would be looking at you and perhaps in a different way.
I don't want people looking at me if I was naked while I was there.
Well, no, but there's an understandable reason for that, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Actually.
Right, but, well, how old are you, Jeff? I mean, did she perhaps break a law by handing that magazine to you?
52.
You're not 52. How old are you, really?
62.
How old are you? I mean, look, you're not going to get in trouble. Just tell me how old you are.
How old I am?
Yeah, I can find out, Jeff.
I'm 20.
You're not 20 either.
I'm 20.
Jeff, I can find out that, look, if you're 20, you're pretty stupid because you're still in school. You're still in high school or even junior. Where are you? Which grade are you in?
What grade am I in? I'm 11th grade.
11th grade. Okay, that pretty much tells me how old you are, so I can figure it out from there.
How old am I?
Well, you'd have to be probably about 15, I'd say, to be in 11th grade.
Older.
16.
Right.
Okay. There you go. Well, I think the magazines, you can't sell them to people underneath 17 or 18, is it?
Sold to me. They gave it away.
Oh, maybe there's a loophole there. Maybe you can give away the magazines, but you can't sell them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somehow I don't think that's going to hold up in court, though. But we'll find out.
You were really at that protest today?
Yeah, sure I was.
And the old people gave you the finger.
Isn't that amazing? This big old lady was leaning over. She was driving by, and I just saw her leaning over the passenger side. Of course, she's driving this big Cadillac, you know,
right.
and there's nobody else in it. No one else would want to be in it. And she's, you know, leaning over, giving us the finger.
I think the old people would like it, and the young kids want them all. So that's what I would think.
That's what I would think, too. But the young kids, and I mean by young kids, kids under 10 years old, they really seem to support the environmentalist movement, which makes you think, you know, what are these kids seeing in the news? They're seeing, you know, how the adults are screwing everything up.
They are.
And you just can't get anything clean anymore. So, you know, would you rather drive an extra 10 minutes to go to a store, or would you rather give all that up for the sake of quote-unquote convenience?
Yeah, I know. Disgusting.
But you go to what, Hop Hog High School?
Yeah, yeah.
Do people there seem at all awake about these kind of things? I mean, you're kind of to the west, so...
Really?
What?
Not really.
Yeah.
You're really immature down there.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to be immature. You're a kid.
No, I'm not.
Well, I mean, you know, in perspective to everybody else, you're a kid.
Not me.
Anyone under 20 is a kid, all right?
All right, how old are you, Eric?
We don't have to get into things like that right now.
Yeah, okay.
But I'll tell you this. I am not that old. I am not that old yet. I feel like an old-timer looking around this place and seeing how things have changed in, like, the last 10 years, you know? I used to be able to see grass and trees everywhere, and now, you know, there's buildings everywhere. It's like, what's going on?
Now you're getting older, Eric. That's what's going on.
I'm getting older. This place is getting more and more depressing. Wind up in Alaska. Now, even that's no good anymore.
Well, it's really disgusting outside today.
No, it's great outside. That's the whole point. I love this kind of weather. This shows.
I love chaos.
It's chaotic, yes. It is chaotic.
Love it.
I love it, too.
Really?
I'm with you there.
It's like pouring. What's the weather forecast, anyway?
It's supposed to rain. They say a 70% chance of rain.
I'm sick of them saying that. It's bull.
Yeah, it is bull, because it's raining no matter where you are,
right,
anywhere on the eastern coast. Sorry?
It was raining last night and today. Well, the chance that it'll rain tomorrow, I'd say a 99.5%, not 70%.
As soon as they scheduled homecoming, I knew this would be the weekend and it would rain like it never rained before.
Oops. Uh-oh. Problemo.
Yeah, they always do that. They always do that. I don't know. They should schedule home. Why can't they have homecoming over the summer or something?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know why they can't do that. It's a simple rescheduling of a couple of things.
So they hold everything until... What happened? Do you know what happened? Weren't we supposed to, like, broadcast live from there or something like that?
Yeah, well, there were live broadcasts from downstairs in the Union, but I don't think we went outside because we probably would have been electrocuted with all that.
Yeah, but we did broadcast live.
Outside?
No, inside.
Inside, yeah, but not outside in the pouring rain.
Broadcasted.
Although, I don't mind broadcasting the pouring rain. I don't mind getting wet. You know, you get wet when you take a shower. Why is it any different when you walk outside?
So that's what I would say.
As long as you go back inside at some point.
Right. You know, it feels disgusting, though, when the pants stick to you and everything.
It does, but that's sort of a special feeling, too, you know? I've got my shoes hanging from the ceiling because they're wet, you know?
It's
something I'll look back on. Sorry?
Hey, do you really have your shoes hanging in that air conditioner right in front of the studio?
They're hanging right there in the studio, yes. You know the studio. They're hanging. If you walk into master control here, you'll hit your head on my shoes.
Listen, people, knowing Eric, he's probably not kidding, so.
I'm not kidding. Come to think of it, the whole studio is cleared out since I took them off, too. I don't know why that is.
Is anyone there right now?
Everybody sort of ran out screaming.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I don't blame them.
I think there's like a...
How many clothes have you got right now, anyway?
I'm sorry?
How many clothes have you got right now?
I got a full switchboard here.
Really?
Yeah, and I think I should get to it.
All right.
So
I'll be on Tuesday, 3 to 6, Ron Phillips and me.
Okay, well, something to look forward to, see how we can embarrass you even further.
Ron said he had a list of insults for next week, so we're going to try to look at that.
Let's figure out who Ron Francis is. That's what I really want to know.
Someone wrote that?
No. That's a name that came into my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Ron Phillips. We go way back. But yet, for some reason tonight, I called him Ron Francis, and I can't remember why.
The name of the show is Not No Talent Idiot. That really explains him very well. Sorry, Ron.
Ron Francis. Who is Ron Francis? It's got to be a name. It's got to be a name.
Maybe you're thinking of Rob Franza.
No, I'm not thinking of Rob Franza. If I was thinking of Rob Franza, I would say Rob Franza.
Excuse me.
But Ron Francis is a mystery. It's an enigma. It's probably a clue for Twin Peaks. I don't know. Thanks for calling.
I'll get your other calls.
I'll try to do that. They'll be waiting patiently.
See you on Tuesday.
All right.
Bye.
Jeff Rossin, veteran newscaster, news reporter here at WUSB. It's one of the many things that go on during the course of a week here. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening.
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing?
I thought that was a very important point that you said before about you people at USB not holding on people long and not making them waste their phone bills.
Yeah, isn't that a good point there? It makes you feel better about letting the phone ring 50,000 times.
Oh, yeah, I think it's very important. You know, it's something completely contrary. Metal shop, and he plays nobody's request.
Like a metal shop from school, you mean?
It's more like poser shop.
Uh-huh, okay.
And he thinks he plays people's requests, but it really doesn't. He holds people on for a long time. It costs money to call. So, you know, it doesn't really cost much to call you guys anyway. It costs me about 3 cents.
Uh-huh.
But still, you know, it's money out of my pocket.
I bet they have one of those 955 numbers, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. It's like 955-WBAB.
Those 955 numbers cost more, I think, than
regular
numbers.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and that's I also heard they charge you even if you get a busy signal, those numbers.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I've heard that. You know, one day they're going to have 900 numbers to make requests. I went to McDonald's this week. Well, I do that sometimes. I went to McDonald's, and they give you this little contest form. And in order to find out if you win the contest, you have to call a 900 number and pay 75 cents to find out if you won. No purchase necessary, but you have to call a 900 number to find out if you won.
Yeah, that's pretty beat.
I mean, what are we coming to? You know, you can't even win $1 million anymore without spending money.
I think the first thing to do is just ban fingers from life. I think that guy just, you know, this is the opinions I like to express about that guy right now.
Well, you seem to have quite a bit to say about him. I wonder...
Now he probably dragged his fake... You know what, over to Sundance tonight to the Flotsam and Jetsam show over there playing what he considers metal.
Let me ask you something. Does he play any death, speed, or thrash?
Oh, God forbid, no.
No? Well, you know where to tune to hear that, don't you?
Oh, yes. We know.
Okay, good, because in just half an hour you'll be hearing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's not really what I want to talk about. I just want to talk about Fingers and how he doesn't play anybody's request in it. He's just a loser.
Well, I suggest you get a posse together, like we're going to do on Monday with this environmentalist stuff, and you go down there and you tell him what you think.
I do. We try to tell him at Sundance. You know, he's a geek.
That's not what you tell him. You tell him, you know, outside where he works. Make him, you know, walk through the picket line or whatever.
Yeah.
Bombard him with phone calls. I don't know. I'm sure you can think of something.
I'll just bombard him with baseballs.
Well, I don't know if that's, you know, in the figurative sense, I guess you could do that, but not in the literal sense. Baseballs are expensive. But thanks for sharing that with us. 632-6901. Good evening.
Yo, what's up?
Yo, what's up?
Hey, who do you think's going to win the World Series, huh?
Well, I know it's not going to be Boston again. They choked yet again. What is it, 1920 is the last time they won?
Yeah, they won the World Series about 1975, and they choked again, you know?
They didn't win the World Series in 75.
Cincinnati did, right?
I don't know who won in 75, but I know Boston has not won since before 1920. They call it the curse of Babe Ruth when they traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees, and you know he went on to fame and fortune then. But since then they've gotten into the World Series a lot of times, but they have never won.
Yeah.
They almost won, you know, back in 82 or something, or no, it was 86. I don't know, the year with the Mets, you know, they almost won.
Play.
They were one pitch away, and they lost. And I was in Boston that night, too. It was the greatest thing.
What?
Yeah. I didn't say I was from New York. I, you know, wanted to live through the experience, but it was quite an event.
That was Game 6, right?
That was Game 6, yeah. And then they came back to New York, and the Mets won Game 7.
That was Shea, right?
Yep.
Okay. How come you said you were in Boston?
Well, I was in Boston watching it on TV. Okay. It happened to Shea Stadium. That's correct. But I was in Boston at a friend's house, and we were watching it on TV. And it was incredible. The whole city just sort of turned out its lights after that game, and everybody just, you know, didn't say anything for, like, the next week.
Wonder why they got rid of Buckner.
I don't know. You know, that's really the extent of all I know about baseball. I'm amazed I was able to say that much. I know that Cincinnati is playing Oakland, and I hope Cincinnati wins because Cincinnati is a much nicer city. That's the only reason, you know, and do it for Pete Rose, too.
They're lucky they're going to win a game if they, you know... If they win a game, they're lucky.
Uh-huh.
Oakland has too much power, you know. They got a great bullpen and stuff.
Yeah. Why is Oakland such a good team, you know? They have such a lame city. I mean, I was walking through Oakland, and there's just nothing there.
Yeah, but they're three-peating in the World Series.
I don't know. So, did you say who you thought was going to win?
Well, Oakland's going to win, definitely.
In how many games?
Four.
In four games. Well, when does it start?
Tuesday 8th.
Okay, well, if they win in four games, we'll know by next week, won't we?
Yeah.
All right, call me next week, and we'll see how you did.
Fight the power.
All right.
Later.
632-6901. Fight the power or make the power. That's what I say. Yeah, 11:35, 25 minutes to midnight, 25 minutes to the witching hour. Good evening.
Yeah, I have a few things to talk about.
Go ahead.
Well, first one is like, I just tuned in, like, right before you hung up on the guy wanting to talk about Slayer. I don't know why you hung up on him.
I don't want to talk about Slayer.
I don't know, you might have a really cool, amazing point, like maybe they're really evil people or they did something cool that the people would be in.
Well, I don't know, last week everybody was calling talking about the new Iron Maiden album, and it got a bit old after a couple of minutes, you know.
Oh, I haven't heard. This is actually the first time I've gotten through. Like, a month ago I was listening, and like you kept saying, yeah, I wish people would call, and you'd be talking for like 10 minutes waiting for people to call while my phone's ringing off the hook.
Well, you know what we need? We need big red lights here. We have little tiny red lights in the phone, and, you know, you look over, and maybe it's ringing, maybe it's not. It's not, you know, the old phone system we had, it lit up, you know, it lit up the heavens. You could tell that the phone was ringing.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the Rome phones. They're pretty obnoxious.
They're very obnoxious.
You don't always notice. You get distracted.
Yeah, but people in the real world don't know what they have. I mean, we have like an alternate universe of telephones here on the State University at Stony Brook. The phones just don't do the same thing that the phones out there do, like work properly. But let's
they can do
not
really
get into
weird,
that.
Funky things.
Oh, they can do weird, funky things, but the average person doesn't know anything about that. And to the average person, it's just a menace, you know?
Yeah, you have to be like it's like a type of computer literacy or something.
Yeah, basically you need to take a course to learn how to work the phones. In fact, they do teach a course on how to use the phones, which I think is pretty pathetic.
Yeah, but they look at it the opposite, because it's administrative types.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, students are forced to have these phones, too. And students are not exactly administrative types.
Due to students is totally disgusting.
Yeah.
They have to pay $25 as, like, some sort of deposit or something.
Uh-huh, they got to pay a deposit, and
but just for, like, outside calls, that if they make no outside calls or something, they can't, like, get it back, or they basically have to might as well make a minimum of $25 worth of local calls, which...
Oh, it's a racket, and you know what else? If you call a number, if you were on campus, and you were calling this radio station, and this radio station were off campus, for all that time that you let the phone ring... This university would charge you for that time. Can you believe that?
Didn't realize that you were actually charged for ringing.
Yeah, well, the university does that. Well, the university phone system does that. But someone's collecting all this extra money, though, you know, for... like, if you call overseas, it starts charging you before the phone even rings. So if you don't even get through, you get charged. And that's just great for all the foreign students we have here.
Oh, the foreign students are really screwed up. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah.
You go off the heat and whatnot.
They get you everywhere you possibly
can
go.
Cable TV that they're forcing down students and...
Are you a student here?
Yes.
Well, what's the deal with cable TV? I've heard rumors about that for decades.
Well, the aspect, and it was voted down by students because they just didn't want it. And yet they're hyping it up like everybody wants this thing.
Who's hyping it up?
You're charged whether you live in Stage 16 or Roosevelt in a single or you have... And roommates.
I should say for the people off campus, those are dormitories here on campus. But let me just ask one thing. Who is hyping the cable TV?
Well, Statesman talks about how these broken promises of how everyone wants it.
Uh-huh.
But...
Because it would seem very strange if the administration was encouraging cable TV. I mean, students are here to study, not watch TV.
Point. You pay the same amount whether you have no roommates or a bunch. And... It would just encourage you more to watch TV and, like, in the suites where they'll have four rooms in, you know, one common suite. Like, usually they put one TV in the suite.
Right.
No cable hookup in the suite. So everybody pays as much as someone who lives in a single by themselves, and yet the 6 or 10 people who live in a suite all, like, instead of having a common TV, they just have their own separate cable TV in the room. And it's like, people won't socialize or interact. That's a whole one of the horrible problems. It's just going to want to watch TV that they paid for, whether they have a TV or not. It's just like with Rome.
Right.
You used to have the choice before Rome, you know. If they didn't want a phone, they wanted their privacy, and they don't call too many people, you know, they don't have to have a phone. Like with Rome, you have to have a phone.
Right.
That's absurd.
Uh-huh.
It's like you'd have to pay for cable. So you might as well get a cable.
You know what else? You know what else?
Watch the garbage, and they just make money by having the Domino's pizza movie of the week or something.
You know what else drives me crazy, and I don't know why students don't get violent about this, is under the old system, you know, you picked up the phone, you got a dial tone, it was a real dial tone. Now you get a fake dial tone, and you don't necessarily have an outside line until you finish dialing all your calls and the computer places the call. Now, incoming calls are completely different. They go through a different routing system now, and every day, every weekday, clockwork, at 11 o'clock, all the lines going into campus are busy. And if you try calling anybody on campus from anywhere in the world, you will get a busy signal even though they're not on the phone. And it just strikes me as being so irresponsible to the students to do something like that. Have you noticed that at all? Do students, are they aware of this?
No, but, you know, most people you just think, oh, I got a busy signal. How often does he, by clockwork, try and call at 11?
Uh-huh. Well, it happens, you know, sometimes it happens at 10, sometimes it happens until midnight. Lots of times you can't get through for a good part of the evening.
Well, if the power goes out or the computer dies, you just can't call anyone, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's something that's always been a sticking point with me, is people that treat phone systems like computer systems that go down occasionally for maintenance.
Oh, and you have to get a separate, like, line or pay a separate fee if you want to hook a modem up.
Uh-huh. Used to be you could plug a modem into the phone, you know, but they somehow disabled that.
Well, modem, it's just a lot of trash, you know. They could have had the other system.
Uh-huh.
But they have to be state-of-the-art advanced. It's very annoying because they put the phones in the library. People call up to get their messages to talk with their friends, and you're, like, inside an elevator waiting, like, 10 minutes to go two floors up. But meanwhile, you have to hear somebody's, you know, usually stupid conversation. You just, it's impolite to be in the same room with, but...
Well, you know, it's one good thing that they put phones in more places than they had before, and that they're kind of sturdy. I wish they'd put a few more there.
In a lot of other universities, those phones, they're for, most of them are for emergency ones.
Right.
So you just press a button and, you know, pick up the phone, press a button and say, there's somebody chasing me with baseball bats.
Uh-huh.
Of, you know, you have to go through the effort of dialing even a few numbers. It's still, you know, that little bit of extra effort, you know, somebody could attack or rape or clobber someone by then.
Well, that's true, but the odds of you being attacked or raped right next to one of those phones in the first place is kind of slim.
Well, they're kind of, most of them are in obscure places, too.
Uh-huh. That's so that the attackers don't know where they are.
Yeah, and they're not everywhere.
No, that's true.
Two weird things, like if you have access to a message base, you can call the numbers and, like, leave a message and find out the number of the phone, and then be really, it's like 09, and then they have, like, a two-digit number after for the extension.
Right.
So you call up, like, the phone in the union, people ring up, and you get in a strange conversation.
Uh-huh. You know, what's interesting, we have one campus phone here in the student union building, and everybody lines up to make phone calls on it. And nobody is aware that right next to it, a few feet away in the elevator, is a phone that does the exact same thing. But nobody wants to go into the elevator and make a phone call.
Well, I don't trust those elevators.
No, it got stuck the other week, too, for our benefit.
This girl, I took a class with, her father was one of the janitors in the math building or something.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, he was on workman's comp. He just went in the elevator to bring up his mop, and, like, the cables broke.
Oh, boy.
So the bad, you know, it's like you're in the elevator and you get into an accident, everything is falling apart on campus.
Did the elevator actually fall?
Oh, yeah, it fell, like, a couple of floors.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, there's weird safety things in an elevator if you happen to realize it's falling. And maybe you're in a skyscraper, so you have, like, a half a second to realize if there are rails, you're supposed to hold on to them.
Uh-huh.
Or the other thing, if there's no rails. And it seems kind of silly, but supposedly it works as you jump up and down in a falling elevator, and the chances are, as it's falling, you won't be on the floor. It'll, like, fall and go crash, and then you'll hit the floor and won't
right.
be as hurt, or if you're holding on to rails with your feet off the floor.
Well, those kind of things only work for a certain number of floors, I would imagine. If you hurdle about 40 flights, it's not going to do you much good, right?
But, you know, perhaps if you're not too crowded, and, you know, you're on the fourth floor, and it's falling. Or even then, you know, you just happen to go in the city or Empire State Building and the elevator falls, it's good to know, but...
Yeah, it's handy to have that. Perhaps I could have a little pamphlet you could carry with you.
But I have a comment to make about the guy who didn't like what they're doing on B&B.
Okay, make that comment, then I've got some more calls.
Okay, well, you know, in terms of, like, they're not playing what you want, and if you're a listener, Well, they play what they want, what they think people want to hear, or what they think will make them more money from their sponsors. So you boycott those sponsors, and you start letting the sponsors know in large groups, this is what we want to hear. They don't play our kind of music. You know, we'll listen to the station, but we'll purposely not buy from you unless you pressure them to start taking our requests.
Right, and that doesn't mean anything, though, unless you let them know what it is you're doing. And you got to let them know that.
You know, people, like, won't watch stations they don't like, even if it's showing something cool. But what I purposely do is take note of their sponsors. And usually I don't buy half the stuff they advertise anyway. But, you know, it's even funkier to specifically watch the station you don't like to find out who their sponsors are, which is very easy because it's half the hour is commercial.
But, you know, there's something troublesome about that, too, because a lot of fundamentalist groups also target certain sponsors of controversial programs. So those sponsors in the future shy away from those controversial programs. And I just wonder, where could that lead? You know, maybe there won't be any more controversial programs because everyone's afraid someone's going to boycott them.
Well, like a lot of right-wing people have very active ideas that are more workable in terms of, like, boycott the smaller companies that sponsor to get their way done, and left-wing groups look for loftier things like boycott Coke, which you could boycott them, it wouldn't hurt them anyway, you know, with the South Africa thing, which I'm very...
Yeah, but you see, activism does do something, the tuna thing, for instance. I mean, even if they're only making a token effort, they're making an effort publicly, and they're aware of the problem, and they're saying something, so we got them in that sense.
The thing I'm very leery about is, how can you tell? You could still be, they could even, just for a joke, like, catch more whales and...
Right. Well, you tell by watching them very closely. You tell by having people get jobs on ships with little cameras that can take pictures if they're violating. You know, you infiltrate,
or
you figure it out.
But, like, those things are good. It's not just tuna or other aspects of things. It's for locally, it was like who sponsors what, and if you don't like this group or what they're doing sponsored, you just target the sponsors, because the groups don't care, they just get their money either way.
That's certainly true.
Well, I'll let you get off.
Let me ask you one final question. Any thoughts on the mall out east?
Any thoughts of what? Oh, the mall out east, I think it's very screwed up. We just don't need another mall. It's like the whole problem of malls, like, become like the public congregation centers. I mean, you just, Long Island is a strange place that a public transportation is centered on a mall. And, like, it's not like a city street. It's public where you can do what you want. You can have a demonstration or people can just hang out. Like, I know at the malls, if you're just sitting around, you get shoveled away because you're not buying things. Whereas a public street, they can't do that.
Well, they try sometimes, but yeah, you're right, they can't.
And with the malls, it's private owned, so they have the control over, like, public space. Like, Smith Haven used to be cool when they had that big dugout thing in the center, and you'd hang out and meet people. I think there's this whole trend in society where you just don't meet people. You go from your house to your air-conditioned car to the mall or to work or to school, go home. And when you do, you, like, pay to go to some club or bar. You just can't. It's not like a city where you can walk out and there's, like, hundreds of people hanging out and you can just meet people and interact and find, yes, there are other human beings with the same problems as you and something about it, or just have a good time.
All right, well, I'm sure we can create those kind of environments without destroying the environment, right?
Oh, yeah, well, make it a park.
Yeah, make it a park. Great idea.
It's public access, that there's a bus that goes by that you can go to the park instead of go to the mall 10 miles away and hitchhike or something. Or just, like the way things are developed, there's just these little outdoor shopping malls that you can sort of do that, but there's no accessible public spaces with a bunch of storefronts and some clubs and cafes. You know, the closest thing in Stony Brook is that little mall thing by the harbor that's just not a place to hang out and meet people. People go there to take care of their business.
Well, it's only because people don't go there to meet people, but it could be, you know. Any place can be a congregating place.
Very hard to find a place to meet people. There are certain things, like, where people hang out and skateboard or whatnot, but they're, you know, people get persecuted basically because they're not there to buy things. although it's usually under the
Well, office. They can't lock you all up, that's for sure. And if 100 people came by with skateboards, they'd be hard-pressed to deal with it, especially if they were all peaceful. But that's a topic for another show. Thanks for calling. I'll get on some more calls here.
Okay.
Thanks again. Yes, so get right to those calls first. This late-breaking item, a Roman Catholic high school has amended the Pledge of Allegiance by adding the word unborn to reflect the church's opposition to abortion. Some students at Lorraine Catholic High School in Lorraine, Ohio, are said to be unhappy about the change, which adds, after liberty and justice for all, the words, for the born and unborn. What's really upsetting, they are trying to make us believe what they believe about abortion, said one 17-year-old student who declined to be identified. Smart kid. But most of us here think it's a woman's right to choose. Think about that. Most people inside a Catholic high school think it's a woman's right to choose. Joanne Miller, principal of the school, defended the move as appropriate. We are a Catholic school, and therefore our philosophy is one of pro-life. She added that the change was suggested to us and that it did not go against our philosophy. Jerry Lackamp, director of communications for the Cleveland Catholic Diocese, said references to the unborn in the pledge was not policy for Catholic schools in Northeast Ohio. Good evening.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
I keep hearing you talk about how much you like rain.
I do like rain. Well, you know what I like? I like variety. And what we have today is certainly unusual, you know?
Yeah. Like, I like rain also, but it floods my basement. That's why I hate it.
Yeah, that stinks, I know.
It's really annoying. I have to, like, water vacuum it up, and it just gets on my nerves.
Well, but you know, they have support groups for that, though. I mean, you can go on I think it's on a Monday night, and everybody gives, like, a little 10-minute rap as to how bad their basement is, and everybody goes out for ice cream some days later, and everyone's happy. You know?
Yeah.
We'll give out the number later.
Yeah, I also like it, though, because, I don't know, I like gloomy nights. Like,
yeah, gloomy night. There's something good about gloom. It sounds weird, but you gotta move your emotions all over the place. And a night like this, an ominous night where it's pouring rain and nobody wants to be outside, there's something really magical about it.
Yeah, I heard some kid talking about fingers.
Uh huh.
Metal shop. Well, he calls it a metal shop.
Does everybody listen to this guy? I mean, come on. I bet people who listen to him don't listen to me.
It's like a power surge station. Like, they play, like, metal. Well, supposedly play metal, but they really don't. And the guy just never takes anyone's request, and it's annoying.
Then you gotta let him know that. Get out there and force.
I feel like just hitting him sometimes.
I mean, if one of our DJs did that, he'd be hanging like my sneakers are from the ceiling now.
Like, per se, say somebody didn't like something you did, and they called up and told you, would you be mad?
I wouldn't be too mad, no. Why should I be mad if someone gives me honest criticism of what I do or don't do?
I know some people would just take it.
Well, you know, people are like that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Not really. I heard someone else call up about the new Slayer. I thought it was really good.
Well, is that the kind of stuff Raz would play?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he'll play it then.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
632-6901. Remember, we play real metal on this station. Our metal makes the metal they play on other stations look like tinfoil. How's that? Yeah, tinfoil. Not bad just sitting here thinking up phrases. Good evening.
Yeah, what's up?
How you doing?
Hi. Yeah, you said it was homecoming at your school this week?
Yeah, I think it takes on a different meaning today. I think a lot of people went home for real and aren't coming back.
Yeah, it's homecoming at my high school, too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You dare to have your homecoming the same week that we do?
Oh, we're real sorry about that.
You probably took away the crowd and everything. Well, now, you had it today, I assume.
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't go to these things that involved.
You don't have the school spirit, do you?
Well, it's not the school spirit. I'm just not involved with things that high school athletes from my school are involved in.
Don't you realize you're opening yourself up to Soviet infiltration like that?
Well, I just think that the athletes in my school are just a bunch of bad-attituded jocks. I just think they all just...
Well, I'm sure you'll want to remain anonymous, right?
No, actually, I'll say who I am.
Well, no, I don't want to be responsible for that. I mean, I get news day. I don't want to read in the paper what happened to you. Let's just put it this way. I went to school with those same jocks, and they're still in school. That's why I went to school with them. And, yes, you're right. They do have bad attitudes. And
they all have mohawks.
Yeah, they do, don't they? It gives Mohawks a bad name.
They're all named Ferris.
Well, that's something else. But, you know, just think of it this way. In 20 years, you'll be 20 years ahead. But they won't be.
Yeah, they'll still be, you know, yeah, it's, you know, they just, you know, they make fun of me in lots of ways. They criticize me. I just like to say to them, you know, what are you going to become in like, your future years? They just, you know, they have, like, these geeky parties they have every week. And
actually, some jocks, though, become very, you know, very nice people, but some jocks don't grow out of it. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a problem. But it's a problem any group can have, you know. You got your dweebs, you got your jocks, you got your nerds. And let's hear it for nerds. When you band people together, you know, they kind of become scary. I mean, I'm sure you've seen a gang of nerds. It's a horrible thing, and you want to stay out of their way.
What about the geeks?
The geeks are another thing.
The pathetic geeks, that's what I am.
Yeah? Well, there's the geeks, there's the dweebs. There's all kinds. There's all kinds. You just, you know, you got to mix it up. If you band together with the same people all the time, you're never going to amount to much.
A lot of my pathetic geek friends are listening tonight.
Well, that's good, I guess. Maybe they'll learn something. You know, I went to Clemson College, just went there to visit.
Really?
And, I mean, you think it's bad up here. They have football dormitories. I swear to God, they have football dormitories. They don't want the football students to mix with the real students. They have football cafeteria, football diets, you know, football classes. You have to pass the football people. It's just like a whole different world. It's like you got visitors from outer space and you got the real people.
Just remember one thing, man.
What?
Jock. You know what it rhymes with, right?
Yes, I certainly do. Thanks for calling. Yes, it rhymes with, what is that word? Doc, as in Otis Redding, Doc of the Bay. Right. Good evening. Go ahead.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, you know that kid that called my Jose Canseco before?
No, maybe it was a different radio station.
Not the World Series Oakland.
Oh, okay. Well, how do you expect me to know his name?
What?
How do you expect me to know his name?
I thought you remembered the call, you know?
I remember the call, but I don't know him by name. I just know him as a voice.
Oh.
Okay, I remember the call about the World Series. Yeah, what about it?
I think Oakland stinks.
Oh, well, you're on a cordless phone, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not all we know about you. We know everything about you, including that little incident last year. Ha, ha, ha. Just like to make him squirm a little bit. Good evening.
All right.
How you doing?
Hi, I heard someone call up and talk about, like, jocks, and I know a band that wrote a song about jocks.
You know, that's an interesting point. Are there any bands made up of jocks? You know, musical jocks?
I don't know if they're made up of them, but I've got this, I won this tape on Turmoil. It's a station, like, from USB.
Uh-huh.
And
it's a program on USB.
Well, I guess you could call it that.
Well, it's not a station. We're a station.
Same difference.
No, whatever, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I got this tape in the mail, and it came, like, with all these different papers for each song.
Yeah.
Had a, like, picture, and there was one called The Jock Song. If you want me to read the lyrics, I'll read them to you.
Well, okay, as long as you can read them. I'm sure you're aware of indecency and all that. Go ahead.
Well, the words that are bad, I'll just, like, won't say them.
Okay, good enough.
You ever notice that jock rhymes with blank? You're a jock that rhymes with blank, which starts with C, so take a P.
and set to music, I guess that could be really catchy, huh?
Yeah, well, personally, I'd like to give it to each kid in my school that is a jock.
Well, that's what lockers are for, you know? You slip it in the lockers.
Yeah.
And assume they can read.
Guess we'll have to try that sometime.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, later.
All right, and that's going to just about do it for us tonight, unfortunately. We are clear out of time, but we'll be back next week. And speaking of Steve Kreitzer and Turmoil, we've got another benefit concert coming up on the 27th, which is exactly, good Lord, it's exactly 2 weeks from tonight. So keep listening to 90.1 FM, and we'll give you all the details as far as that goes. Remember, shake it up wherever you can. Come to the town planning board meeting on Monday. Voice your opinions about the mall. Keep the mall from being built, hopefully. And voice your opinions about everything as you go through life. Even if it's something controversial, like wishing for rain during homecoming weekend. Yeah. That's why there are certain people known as troublemakers. Eric Corley, not with you anymore. Raz coming up now. Brain damage is over. See you next week. Good night.
I don't know what I want, but
mind. Yes, yes.